7 o'clock. I will call the meeting to order. Let's start with the flag salute, please.
Okay.
This is the February 5th, 2018 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Silva?
Happy.
Yes.
Present.
Here.
Here.
And Mr. Sinek.
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. First up, we have some minutes to approve. We'll go through them individually based on people's eligibility. The first one, and all of these have been, distributed. Have you any comments you got for that or otherwise incorporated? So the first one is January 9th, 2017. There are not any other concerns or questions on those.
Motion.
Yes.
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 Yes. The next are January 30, 2017. Any other discussions or comments?
There's a missing comma after my name and members present. So you already caught that.
Motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Thacker?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sinek?
Yes.
A motion
carried. We have some executive session minutes as well. March 20, 2017. Any questions or comments on those?
Motion.
Well, if not, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Ms. Feinhand?
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
And Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sinek?
Yes. Next up is August 21, 2017. Again, any questions? Comments? Is there a motion?
Motion.
Thank you, Ms. Feinhand.
Second.
Second. Mr. Scheich, roll call, please.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. McKiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Thacker?
I have no.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes. Next up is September 18th, 2017.
Sorry, which date?
It's September 18th, 2017. No? If not, is there a motion? Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there a second? Thank you, Ms. Flanagan. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Please.
Yes. I can abstain because you're not eligible. And
I wasn't there.
Right. That you're not eligible. How do we...
Yes,
November 6th, 2017. Any questions, comments? If not...
Motion.
Thank you. Mr. And Ms. Klein.
I'll abstain.
Is there a second, Ms. Kleinhans, and a second, Mr. Higgins? Roll call.
Mr. Higgins is abstaining as well.
Again, for November.
Yeah, when I say it's
not
eligible. Right, they're not eligible is what we're really saying. All right. All right, so.
Can someone who's
eligible?
Who's eligible
for that one?
Ms. Butcher is eligible.
Wait, why are they not eligible?
Because they weren't here.
They're all listed as here.
They were here, but they...
They refused, so
it's
refused on part of the minutes.
Yeah, and you can't do it in your...
Got it.
I'm telling them legally that...
Yeah, no. That makes complete sense.
Fair enough. So give us the eligible list.
Okay. Ms. Butcher, Ms. Kleinhans, Mr. Pfeffer, and Mr. Smith.
No, I wasn't there at all. I missed the whole meeting.
Okay.
Can you switch here? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we were looking for the eligible folks.
Yeah.
Okay, so eligible
Butcher,
Kleinhans, and Smith.
Right, just those three.
Oh, it's a pretty old...
So I make the motion.
You make the... I'll second it. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Before you actually have that happen, I missed this when I read it over earlier. You have me seconding a motion in the minutes. I'm sorry, I completely messed that when I read it over.
The regular minutes of November 6th, that was corrected.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Good. November. Now the next one is November 6th, 2017, closed executive session.
There might be more.
Why don't we? I know.
Eligible to vote on this.
Give us the eligible
right.
list.
Okay.
Now, actually, same thing again on this one. Did you on this one as well? You have me motioning something.
I'm sorry. What's the
second to last paragraph. You have me seconding a motion on these. Was that already corrected?
On the November 6th executive session?
Yes.
You were in the executive session.
No, I wasn't.
You're shown as absent.
And I'm also... Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, yes. I got that on both of them.
Okay.
Sorry.
Too many at once.
Yep. Sorry.
So the eligible list again.
The eligible list is Butcher, Higgins, Kleinhans, Scheich, and Smith.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith.
I just want to make it clear the reason that there were five eligible to vote on the November 6th closed session minutes, because those five participated in the closed session. The reason only three were eligible to vote and the November 6th open minutes was because additional people would choose themselves from one of the applications, which, in my legal opinion, disqualifies them from voting on the minutes that included the disqualified application.
I'm tracking. Makes sense. Okay. I think that's it.
No?
No,
December
4th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed December 4th, 2017. Is there an eligible list?
Yes, there is. Mr. Higgins, Ms. Kleinhans, Mr. McKernan, Mr. Pfeffer, and Mr. Clement.
I was not eligible on one of the roll calls.
Yes.
at that.
One of the applications, it was?
Correct.
Okay.
That he's off the eligible list.
So.
That was an Exxon one, wasn't it?
So which, we have.
I'm left.
No, I'm not, I'm going to be not eligible. I excuse for the Exxon portion also.
So we. Kleinhans, Beckford, and Tanay.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Beckford?
Yes.
And Mr. Tanay?
Yes. Thank you. That's it, right? On the minutes?
That, yes. For this meeting, yes.
Good. New business. Let's just do, we can do the resolutions, right? I am out of, since I recused on Shabbat, I'm going to hand it over to, our vice chair is absent today, so our vice chair pro tem. Is that Latin or something? Is Ms. Kleinhans? I'm going to let you do it, and I'll just. You here? Do you have the agenda there?
Yeah. So this is the Chabad of Hunterdon County Inc. application number 2017-08. It's the resolution memorializing the grant of final site plan approval. It's resolution number 2018-01. The version in front of you is version 5. Dated February 2, 2018, and Ms. Kleinhans is going to read some additional revisions into the record, and then the motion would be made to grant to approve resolution 2018-01 as amended. So can you please read those additional revisions into the record?
Okay, there's a revision on page 3. It's the 1, 2, 3rd, whereas down, the individuals were sworn to answer about the documents they prepared and were made subject to examination and cross-examination, but no one on the board.
No one on the board, not no on the board. No
correct.
One on the board.
Right. The next one that I sent you, John, is correct as is, so we skip that one.
Yeah, just read the
correction
ones,
is incorrect.
Read the ones that I okay. didn't catch.
The one on page, there's one on page 7. It's the six-month review period, or the period that they have. It's at the top. It says, application, and to the satisfaction of the board, experts who filed the report or testified as well, with the revisions being made to all the documents and the site plans being signed no later than, it says July 6th, it should be August 6th.
Ah, okay.
The next one is on page 8. That was page 8. Next one is on page 12. It's just a minor typo under, it's the seventh or eighth line from the bottom of number 5, where it's talking about paved parking. It should be paved parking.
Paved. It says paved parking. It should be paved parking.
Correct. Correct. And that's it.
Okay, so will someone make a motion to adopt resolution 2018-01 as revised, and those eligible to vote on the resolution are Butcher, Higgins, Kildoff is absent, Kleinhans, Mardini is absent, McTiernan, and Steffer.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Someone want to grab Kevin?
Yeah.
I'm not going
to. How far he went?
Welcome back.
You can keep going if you want.
Are we up to
Oak Knoll.
Resolution? Oak Knoll Village Condominium Association, Inc.
Right.
Block 82.13, Lot 64. Application 201510, Resolution 201521.
This is version 2, dated January 15th. Any questions or comments on the resolution? It's been previously distributed to
just one review.
Right now, this is in uncontested form. Get it adopted before someone comes up with something.
I'm looking at the eagle eye side of the plan over there, the board. All right, if not, you see the eligible members. Is there a motion to approve that resolution?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Blindham?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
Motion.
Thank you. Next up, the third of the resolutions for this evening is New York Life Insurance Company, 110 Cokesbury Road, Block 3, Lot 26. This is Resolution 2015-22, memorializing the waiver of site plan approval with exception to allow replacement of 52 existing light heads with new LED fixtures on existing poles. Again, this has been distributed.
Here's the stream. This is, again, version 2, dated January 15th.
Anybody have anything, any questions or concerns or comments?
Same voters.
So, you know, if there are, if not, is there a motion to...
I'll make the motion.
Approve. Thank you, Mr. Scheich. I'll second.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Blindham?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Okay. We have, under new business, we have the approval of vouchers. These have been previously distributed. There was one in there that was a zoning board one. It was for a fuel project. We've taken that out, so that's not us. That was just inadvertently in there. I have reviewed them all. Does anybody have any questions on any of those? If not, I'll make the motion. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Mr. Pfeffer. Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Slimehan?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Good. Thank you. So we may just move up some of the reports before we get into the... we have two public hearings this evening. Why don't we just put the cover the reports so we can get everything covered here, and then we can get to the two public hearings. Is there a report from council?
Pretty quiet. It was a reorg meeting, and really that was the substance of naming all the committees and swearing everybody in.
Okay. Ordinance subcommittee.
We haven't.
Dave, is there anything? Yeah.
No, we haven't met since the last time we reported. So.
Yeah. Maybe we ought to.
Yeah.
I think we've got a couple of points that we've identified, so probably should put something on the calendar.
Yep. Sounds good.
Let's look to Denise. Maybe we can slot that in ahead of one of our upcoming planning board meetings.
Okay. And just if you could refresh my memory, who we have currently on that subcommittee?
I believe it's me, the mayor, and Sam.
That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys can kind of, between you and Denise, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of aligning on a date and going from there. Open space, is there a report from the open space?
They had a meeting, and again, pretty much a reorg meeting. The new chair wanted to kind of have a private session with them, so they got the assignments put together, and you know, we're really starting a new kind of a fresh situation.
Good. Environmental, that's probably me. I've been to the two sessions this year. A lot of discussion around the Windy Acres property and trails and some Eagle Scout work to do some things at those trails, but also about access. And I know that kind of directed them to come to the council for some of those questions. So I think that's the reports. We are up to the public hearings. So the first public hearing is Hunterdon Preparatory School, Lot 13, Lot 3, 11 Spencer Lane. The applicant is seeking a waiver of site plan for the proposed construction of a new paver patio and gazebo.
Good evening, everybody. My name's George Dilson.
You noticed the 7:30, just like the other applicants, right? Because people weren't used to the meeting starting at 7, 7:25. Can we just wait 5 minutes? Or unless you, if you want to start.
Is there anybody here on the Hunterdon Territory School application other than their members? Thank you.
Right, so let the record show that they're
starting at his own risk.
Starting at his own risk, right. But they also, nobody in the crowd has, in the audience, has said they're here, so it's just, I like to note that. Because
right, just the person who got the notice for 7:30, who's on Route 31, is the only one you have to worry about. Not that should make you nervous or anything.
John, I'm good with it.
Okay.
Okay, you've got a large crowd in front of you, I respect that. Okay. So anyway, as I was saying, I'm George Dilts. I'm the attorney for the applicant. It's the Hunterdon Preparatory School, and as your chairman indicated, we're asking for what site plan waiver, because we're basically installing two patio areas and a gazebo. Fortunately, we're just a few feet short of a side yard setback, and so we've also noticed for a C variance. I've submitted the proof of notice prior to tonight. I believe that was approved, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Denise checked it for procedure. I checked it for content, and the notice is in order.
Thank you very much. With the application, we had submitted two one-page plans. One was the Bowler amended preliminary and final major site plan. That was page two of that set. It was dated 4/9/13, revised. Revision number three was dated 7/11/13, and it was showing the proposed existing conditions. We also submitted the Hunterdon Preparatory School gazebo plan prepared by Medea Landscape Studios. That was dated 6/28/17, revised 10/25/17. And you'll see a new exhibit tonight with a few modifications to address some of your planner's comments. We did receive three reports from your professionals, one from your engineer, Kathleen Marcelli, back on 12/8/17 regarding completeness. We received the Clark Kate Hintz report 9/7/17 and a second one on 1/24/18. I've got two rather short witnesses tonight. One is Hope Austin, the assistant director of the school, and Mike Padilla, our landscape architect.
So why don't we get all the witnesses sworn in? Which board professionals are participating in this application? Okay. So the two applicant witnesses and the one board witness, can you please raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're going to give in connection with this application. It's going to be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you guys.
I do.
And can you start over here, identify yourself, spell your last name, and give your relationship to the applicant or the board, as the case may be?
Michael Medea, M-E-D-E-A. I'm a licensed landscape architect for the Hunter New Preparatory School.
Hope Atkinson, assistant director of Hope Atkinson, A-T-K-I-N-S-O-N, business manager and assistant director of Hunter New Preparatory School.
Andrea Malcolm, board Katrina.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mike to begin first. I've mounted the two one-page plans that we submitted. I'm not sure we're going to need to refer to them, but I have them if necessary. Mike, you brought a new plan?
Just an enlargement of the area.
Okay.
So why don't we get the color-rendered exhibit marked as Exhibit A1? Which is up in the... Okay, that's it right over there. Well, can you just identify Exhibit A1 for the record? Is it called something in the title block?
It's a Hunter New Preparatory School gazebo plan enlargement. So if you're familiar with the larger scale,
Mr. Dills has to get you qualified first.
Okay. Did you get the data and all that, John?
No, he just said gazebo plan enlargement dated
February 2nd, 2018.
Prepared by
Michael Medea, landscape architect.
Thank you. Michael, you've indicated you're a licensed landscape architect. That's for the state of New Jersey?
Correct.
And how long have you been still qualified?
Since 2000.
And you've prepared plans in connection with these type of applications in the past?
Yes.
You've testified before boards in expert capacity as landscape architect?
I have.
Anybody have any questions or concerns about the credentials? Nope. I think we're fine.
Can you accept them as an expert?
We'll accept them as an expert.
Okay, Michael. If you would, I've asked you to go first because I'd like you to go through the what's being proposed and describe it in your professional opinion, and then I'm going to ask you about the couple of variances that we also need.
Okay. I was enlisted by Hunter New Preparatory School to provide a plan for a gazebo that was donated by somebody at the school. They wanted to create a space, a casual space for sitting, possibly having lunch and with students and teachers. So there's the facade of the building here. They wanted to locate a gazebo in a grass area currently over to the side of the building. Most of the lot is paved, not a lot of green space, at least close to the building. So we felt that this was the best location for a gazebo. Unfortunately, it's slightly in front of the what's required for the setback.
And how far is it set back from the side yard?
What's proposed is 69 feet 8 inches.
And the pavers that are shown there, can you describe them?
There's an existing concrete walkway along the front of the building and along the driveway. Off of that, we're proposing some concrete pavers as a connection to the gazebo and also for a casual bench, something of that nature. Then there's also a small bump out here with some pavers where there's an existing flagpole, again, somewhere where you can gather around the flagpole, possibly locate a bench or something.
So with regard to the pavers adjacent to the gazebo, how far are they from the side setback?
67 feet.
Okay. And then you pointed to another area, which I guess is to the right of the building. I guess that's to the south by a flagpole. And those pavers are how far from the...
69 feet 1 inch.
And in this zone, the requirement for structural setbacks?
There's a 75-foot setback requirement.
And, in fact, we have a sidewalk, which I guess if the pavers are considered structures, the sidewalk might be. And where is, and that's an existing sidewalk that was approved in the prior application?
There's an existing sidewalk along the curb.
Okay. And that's actually in front of these improvements we're putting in.
Correct.
Okay. With the gazebo, do you know how high it is?
It's 11 feet high.
Okay. And I believe on the original set of plans, which I can now just
in your schedule of requirements, I think we had an incorrect number. Is that correct?
We had called out 20 foot, and I believe that was prior to my knowledge of the exact gazebo that was selected.
So this gazebo is really only 11 feet tall, and that, and even the 20 foot call out, wouldn't have violated any bulk requirements, correct?
Correct.
And in the area of the gazebo, there is an existing light pole, which was part of the earlier approval from 2013. Yes, 2013. Do you have an opportunity to determine whether that will be interfered with any of the gazebo going in and or maybe some trees, which I'm going to ask you about next?
The light post was not shown on my original plan. I was working with a survey that didn't have that light pole located.
Mm-hmm.
The enlargement, the new plan shows the light pole right here. What was done to the plan to accommodate the existing pole was basically there was a tree that I had there. We moved that out of the way. But other than that, there's no conflict.
Okay.
Remove the proposed tree or an existing tree? Yeah,
well,
a proposed tree.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now that you're talking about it, what kind of trees are you proposing in connection with this application?
There's three ornamental trees proposed around the gazebo. There's not a specific identification on those trees at this time. Something along the lines of a flowering cherry, something in line with what's currently planted on the property that was previously.
And would it be satisfactory to you that any input that the although he's not sworn, the board landscape architect or any he might want to consider, you would consider also?
Yeah, we'd be open.
Okay. And I also understand that on the original set of plans, you showed a parking layout. Can you explain to the board what happened there?
I was working from an existing survey that I referenced to prepare my plan, and I didn't have access to a CAD file, a digital file of the approved site plan that showed the actual striping. So the striping that's shown on the plan that was submitted is not in line with what's currently on site, and there's no changes proposed at all to the parking lot.
And the other plan that was submitted, which is on the other side, that's a much smaller version. But this was the approved site plan, and that part is correct. Your name is the same as actually what was constructed.
Yes.
Can you identify that sheet that you're holding there?
That's one of the sheets I described, John, as submitted with the application. The Bowler plan has amended preliminary final major site plan as a revision three date. 7/11/13, and an original date
4/9/13. But that's the one that's in the board package, correct?
That's the one that's in the board package. In order to show your blow up, which is part A1, So you're not showing any parking on this blow up.
No.
His position is that the parking is correctly reflected on the Bowler amended preliminary site plan, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, the plan that I prepared was simply for the gazebo.
It's good. Okay. Let's see. We've covered the different variances. We've covered the... Oh, with the gazebo, do you feel that the light illumination which was provided under the original plan remains sufficient?
In my
my opinion that the current light pole is 30 feet tall, whereas the gazebo is 11. It's not a closed structure. So I would feel that light would continue to do what it's intended.
Okay. Thank you. I have nothing further for this witness. My second witness will clarify a few of the other points as well. Any questions from the board?
No, at this point. How about the professionals?
Yeah. Just going back to the lighting, at 30 feet, and you indicated there are ornamental trees. What do you anticipate? What do you anticipate the height of the trees in that area? I'm just a little concerned because the lighting would be for that intersection, presumably.
I mean, they're ornamental trees, so they would, they would be a 20 to 25 foot max of all trees in that area currently that were planted, not in the direct area of the gazebo. But, I mean, if it's the advice of the board that trees not be planted in that area, you can stick to more of a landscape planting to minimize the height in that regard.
It might be advisable just to have some type of a lighting check. If that would presumably be under the engineer, just to make sure. I mean, should the board want to approve this?
You're suggesting a nightlight test?
A nightlight test, correct.
But you're suggesting a nightlight test after they've been planted, or a nightlight test after they've grown to 20 to 30 feet?
I mean, once planted, you could assess observe the location of where the trees would be and how that. I don't know if there's lighting around the other side of that driveway or if that's...
Perhaps I can address that. One of your questions, Andrea, was you wanted us to submit an entire set of the original plans, which I have tonight to submit if the board doesn't have it from the earlier file. So I'll be happy to submit this, and I would ask Mike...
You should submit that. I'm sure the board has them, but you should submit
them. I'll leave this plan with you, but the reason I brought it up is that there are some existing light poles that remained under the original plan. Perhaps Mike can... we're looking at page...
Can you identify the plans that you're referring to?
Yep, we're looking at page 5 and page 6.
No, I mean, that's a plan set, right?
Yes, this is the plan set from Bowler for the 2013 application. It's the same title, amended preliminary and final major site plan. Consists of 11 pages with revision number 3 with the same date, 7/11/13. And I'm looking, I've asked Mike to take a look at page 5. And up in that corner, it depicts the light pole that we were talking about, but I think it also shows some existing light poles to remain.
There are several light poles along the perimeter of the parking lot as well as on the building. I didn't analyze the plan, but from looking at it, it appears to me that section of the parking lot is illuminated by poles on that side, whereas the one we're concerned with is lighting the... Is closer to this area where it's directly towards the road and the parking spaces here.
I'm not trying to be a pain in the neck at this time. The sheet that you referred to before, so you didn't give the sheet number again.
Yes, I mean, I did, the sheet 2.
I missed it then, okay. My fault. That was sheet 2?
Sheet 2.
If you're referring to the same set of plans, revision 3, last dated July 11, 2013, now you're referring to sheet 5.
Yes. And I would submit we'll take a condition that we satisfy in the lighting center that Andrea has after she's looked at the plan.
Or the lighting, township lighting consultant might be more appropriate.
Send it to the township lighting consultant, correct?
Yes. Trying to keep this down to a minor roar. That's fine. I understand the question came up, and I think I'll resolve it very quickly. So I will submit this, John, just so that I know, to your lighting, the township lighting expert, page 5.
You have the whole set?
I have the whole set of plans.
How many sheets are in that whole set?
11.
So submit the whole set right now to the board secretary, please, because then she'll take it and she'll distribute it to the board lighting expert so she doesn't have to lose the board copy.
Then I don't have to do it, because if I give it to you now, I won't have page five.
So you can submit it tomorrow. You have to submit it tomorrow.
I will.
Be, if the board approves it, it will be a condition.
Very good. As I said, any other questions, Andrea, for him?
I think those are the only ones. Specific questions, and then to run through the criteria, but I don't know if the board wanted.
Yeah, I guess if I can jump in, the question, and maybe I missed it, was I'm looking at Andrea's memo talking about recreation and the purpose.
Yeah, that's going to be addressed.
Did I miss that, or is that going to come later?
That's going to come later. I mean,
okay. Then
not
any other?
Not very long later, very soon.
Okay, I'm not. I didn't see it, and as long as we're doing Andrea, but okay. Anybody else have any other questions?
No, that was my only thing.
Right.
Public.
Anyone from the public on this particular testimony and on the, of this project?
No.
Nope.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hope, would you come up, please?
Okay, but then okay, we just have a seat. You'll talk right
sure.
there.
Hope, again, your position with the school?
I'm assistant director and business administrator.
And you were that back in 2013 when we got the approval to put this school at this location?
I was.
And can you describe the surrounding area for me? We're talking about a setback to the, I believe it's to the east.
Mm-hmm.
What's in that next lot over?
Well, we are surrounded by cornfields.
Okay. Is that on all three sides?
Yes.
Okay. And you front on the Spencer Lane?
We do.
And I believe your driveway is some 2,600 square or feet long, about half a mile in. And you've heard the testimony. I don't think you need to add anything with regard to the setback. But could you give us a little bit of history to this gazebo, how it came about, and why we're here this evening?
Yes. When we were first seen before the board in 2013, we were relocating our school, and we were working on mostly interior and some exterior improvements. We've since wanted to embark on a campus beautification plan.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. We're doing a campus beautification plan. And we enlisted Mike Medea, who has put together a landscape plan for us. And in the meantime, we've had a family. Unfortunately, we had a student pass away back in 2015. His parents wanted to raise funds for a gazebo for us. And we're doing this in memoriam of him. And we've also had a Eagle Scout, who his mother is a teacher at our facility, wants to take on part of our project, and he would like to put in the patio by the flagpole.
And there was a requirement in the original resolution, and you were present during those original hearings, correct?
I was, yes.
There was a provision in there about coming back to the board should you ever have any add any recreation facilities.
Mm-hmm.
What was your understanding of that language?
At the time, the board was concerned if we were going to be installing any athletic fields or any playgrounds. So that was the tone of the recreational facilities in question at that time, and at that time we said no, we were not planning on any athletic fields or any playgrounds, but if we were planning to do that, we would come back before the board for approval.
Okay. And, in fact, we're here for approval, so if the board has any questions about this being a recreation or non-recreation facility, we're here to address any questions. Somehow I've lost the last two pages of Andrea's report. They're probably here.
So if the intent, the use of this is really just the purpose of the gazebo?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not answering. I'm asking, what is the purpose?
You gave me, what do you consider the purpose of this?
The purpose of the gazebo, it will be used primarily by our bus drivers who wait with our students, but also by our students if we want to have a conference with them or have lunch with them or for our teachers. Since we're surrounded by cornfields, we really don't have much of a grassy area or any place for shade, so that's what it will be used for.
Not to be cute about it, it's for meeting and eating?
Meeting and eating. Meeting and greeting and eating, yes.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to add with regard to this application? Oh, I know there was one other question in the report. The other half of the building was used by CenturyLink. I apologize. I just lost the last three pages, or a couple of pages of Andrea's. Well, I have one, but I had notes written on mine, so hang on 1 minute. I just want to find that paragraph.
I think it was in regard to use of CenturyLink
space. Yeah, CenturyLink space was used for storage, auto repair. Let me see. Andrea, what paragraph was that? I want to make sure I cover that.
On the first page, just asking to clarify the...
Right, there. Okay, there it is. You had indicated the CenturyLink was using it for office, assembly, fabrication, storage, and vehicle maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's going on in their section of the building now?
We still do have shared tenancy with CenturyLink. They are no longer doing their maintenance there. I think their staff is down to about two or three people, and the rest of the uses are still consistent.
Okay.
The rest of the use is still for assembly. I think they do fiber optic cable preparation there.
And they still have their storage yard in the back.
They do.
I have nothing further.
Okay. Thank you. Anything from the board at this
point? I have one question. There was another part of that building that had another operation in it at one point. Is that somebody else using that?
Well, we have actually taken over the space. So there were three tenants. Well, there were two tenants before we moved in. One was, I think they were using it as a warehouse space. In the meantime, we've actually taken over that additional square footage. So now there are only two tenants, Hunterdon and Preparatory School and CenturyLink.
And what are you using that space for?
For additional classroom space.
Anything else, Sue, from your...
I'm okay. Thanks.
Anyone else on the board? Any professionals? Anyone? Okay.
Public?
Public?
Just in case?
Just in case somebody came or changed their mind. Not seeing anyone from the public on this one. So, we have the criteria for a site plan waiver, right?
Want to hear from summarize the report, or Mr. Brooks, you want to make some sort of closing argument using...
I can certainly do that, because I've now located my version of her report with my little notes on it. I think it's a fairly simple and straightforward application. I think it's a rather benign and appropriate use for the property. It does violate a small portion of your setback, but as was indicated, there's already an existing sidewalk between these improvements and the setback. The new gazebo is going to add aesthetically to the property. The use has been clarified. The setback distances have been testified to. There's the gazebo itself is 69 feet 8 inches, and I believe the pavers are 65 feet. I will give you a copy of the plans tonight because we have an extra set, and I will see that the page 5 is forwarded to your lighting expert along with a copy of our plan so he knows what we're doing with the trees and the gazebo. Let me see. We covered the relationship and how it got there and the fundraising for the children. to raise monies to acquire this. There's a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout project connected with this. There was an issue, a question about the increase in impervious that was covered in one of my original letters. It's rather minuscule when you're dealing with a 44-acre lot. I mean, the lot itself is surrounded by cornfields. It's a half a mile in from the road. We've submitted that the tree selection will listen to your landscape architect. I'll submit page 5 to your lighting expert as conditions, and we will satisfy them. And I hope, Andrea, I've addressed everything in your report.
Going through the basic criteria, I've now submitted the previous plan and addressed a potential impact. It would be up to the board as to whether they felt some significant concern beyond that.
So, thoughts on that one?
So there's a C variance, C setback variance on the table, and a site plan waiver. So C variance, as the board knows, can be granted under one of two criteria, C1 hardship or C2 benefits versus detriments. As I understand the argument being made, and correct me if I'm wrong, the argument in a nutshell is that the board should grant a C2 variance to allow the gazebo and the pavers to encroach into the setback because there will be a public benefit via aesthetics and an enhancement of the school use on the property, and those benefits are substantially outweighing the detriment. In fact, what I hear them saying is there is no detriment. The argument, as I understand, is going one way or the other. The site plan waiver. Reading Andrea's memo, I think she correctly rules out site plan waiver number 2 because it's not a repair, maintenance, or replacement.
Correct.
And her comment was that you couldn't go under 1 because they didn't submit the site plan. Well, as she said, now they have. So I assume that Andrea's opinion would have changed since they submitted the site plan, that if the board believes that the patio and the gazebo are not true recreation facilities, you know, in the true sense of the word, like not a place for playing volleyball or softball or something like that, that a full site plan application wouldn't be required since it's a place to meet, greet, and eat, that, Andrea, I assume that you'd be open, not that your decision, their decision, but that you would, your opinion would be that criterion 1 would then be satisfied, is that correct?
Yes.
That's the relief that the applicant is seeking.
Right, and having the completed previously approved plans key, that's something in any of these that we don't have, so this option sometimes isn't available. But does the board feel, agree, disagree on that finding on the site plan waiver as well as the C2 variance?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yes. It's definitely not recreational.
Okay, so is there a motion to provide site plan waiver based on the criteria 1 that had previous site plan and it has an insignificant impact on those plans, as well as a C2 variance for the setback, as Mr. Drill mentioned, the benefits outweigh and the detriments?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Syke?
Yes.
And Mr. Simmons?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's going to be
I rather before have a break in the middle.
What do you mean? Let's just go. If you need to go, go.
I can run out.
All right. We'll let this applicant go, and then we'll be up for the next one.
That's great.
Yeah, let's just take a couple. Let's take a couple minute recess.
This is deja vu all over again.
We'll. All right, let's come back from our little adjournment. All right, everybody, it's 8:04. We are back. Thank you. And now we got the next public hearing, which is the Beaverbrook Urban Renewal Associates LLC, Willows at Annandale Village, Block 60.03, Lot 26, Beaver Avenue and Austin Hill Road. And this applicant is seeking amended preliminary site plan approval and initial final site plan approval. And it's in the agenda for all the details about the number of units, and we'll talk about them.
And Mr. Chairman, regrettably, I need to recuse on this matter.
Okay. Mr. Higgins is leaving. So welcome.
He's recused himself from the application. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to explain why.
But you can,
if he has an appearance or an actual conflict of interest, he would recuse himself.
Excuse me. We're gonna have order here, okay? If nothing, we're all neighbors. We're all residents, okay? You know what? If you're not gonna behave, then we're gonna deal with it. Okay. Here's the question. Let me make a point here. The mayor recused on the last one as well, and this is correct. So this is not
recused on my advice that he should recuse. He recused on the initial preliminary site plan application, and my advice to him was the same. He should recuse on this application for the same reason that he's recused himself.
So can we? And let me just, we do keep order here. You know, can you, Mr. Drill, can you explain a little bit? Because, you know, when
there's no legal requirement when a board member recuses himself, there's no requirement that he explain why he recuses himself. Again, I'm in a state.
No. Yes, sorry. What I asked was, can you explain the process for the people? When we have these big meetings where a lot of times people don't come, we want to explain how the process here works and how the evening works so we can...
So the board has a set of rules and regulations. The rules and regulations set out how a hearing is conducted. So how the board's rules are set up, the applicant presents their application. They go first. The applicant will call witnesses. After each witness testifies, interested parties are allowed to cross-examine and ask the witnesses questions. So this board goes witness by witness. Applicant puts on a witness. Witness is finished testifying. Board members ask questions. The board professionals have questions. They ask questions. Then the chairman's going to ask if there are any interested parties that have questions. They'll ask the witness questions. The board rules and the municipal land use law say that there are three instances where a question can be objected to. And then if so, the chairman makes a ruling on behalf of the board. If the board disagrees with the chairman, they can overrule him on a majority vote. The three instances are, if the questions, I'm going to read it right out of the MLUL. It's 40:55B-10D. This not only pertains to questions, but what I will get to in a minute is after the applicant finishes with all their witnesses, then any members of the public or interested parties have the right to present testimony, to present experts, all under oath, just like their witnesses are. And these same three situations could be the subject of an objection. And what it's 10E, and what 10E says is, the technical rules of evidence shall not be applicable to the hearing, but the agency, in this case, may exclude irrelevant
immaterial or unduly repetitious evidence. So if, for example, someone asks a question and it's answered, and someone else asks the identical question, if there's an objection, the chairman will decide if it's unduly repetitious question or not. Or if someone asks a question and someone objects to its relevancy or materiality, the chairman, again, makes a ruling. If the board disagrees, they can overrule it on a majority vote. So it goes like that to every one of their witnesses. And then again, then it's up to members of the public or interested parties if they want to testify or present evidence. The same thing applies if you get cross-examined by the applicant's attorney or someone else. The same rules apply. After you members of the public or interested parties present their testimony, then the applicant, just like in a trial in superior court, they get the last say, so to speak. They get to make a closing statement to the board. Now, this is an application for amended preliminary and initial final site plan approval. If we were at the initial preliminary site plan, I wouldn't say what I'm about to say, but because this is an amended site plan application, certain things obviously have changed, or they wouldn't be here on amended preliminary. In fact, I rendered an opinion to the applicant that they couldn't just go forward with an application for final site plan approval, because what the case law in New Jersey says is, if you have a preliminary approval, you can have changes to it and still get a final approval if the changes are not substantial. If there's a substantial change, you also need an amended preliminary. So I rendered an opinion that certain things that they're proposing constituted, in my opinion, a substantial change, so they needed an amended preliminary. So any of the items that have been changed from the initial preliminary to now is on the table. So, for example, if they need an additional variance, if they're disturbing additional steep slope, if they need additional setback variances, on the table, relevant for the board to decide. But anything that was decided from the initial preliminary that's not being changed, don't be surprised if the applicant objects to any questions or evidence about that being irrelevant or immaterial, because the applicant has vested rights once the board granted preliminary site plan approval on those issues. Have you missed anything?
I think that's...
So that's your basic rules of the game from the board's rules that they adopted at the reorganizational meeting.
Oh, and that they can then testify also once...
You guys, by the way, speak loud, enunciate your words, and speak slow so we can make a good record. What did you say?
I'm saying you went through the process of going through the applicant's witnesses.
And then I thought I said that interested parties or members of the public then
can
testify or present evidence through experts or whatever, and the same rules that would apply to the applicant would apply to interested parties or members of the public.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you have a question and you recognize, you have to identify yourself for the record. Just yell out your name so the court reporter can hear you.
My name's Gene Sabatino. I live in Annandale over here. All I want to know is most of the people here are not lawyers and didn't know how to testify and are here to give opinions.
Yeah, absolutely allowed to give opinions under oath.
But right, and typically, John, that's done toward at the end. That's what I was trying to get at. In other words, okay, there's a process here that we go through, and at the end, but you can pull it.
Again, if I messed this up, I apologize. I thought that it was clear. It obviously wasn't. After the applicant presents this case, any interested party or member of the public is entitled to testify. They can give factual evidence, they can give opinions, they can present their own experts, and right, the same rules that apply to the applicant.
Yeah, no, don't take, right, and I think what we're trying to manage this to...
I just meant under oath. I'm sorry about that.
Right. What we're trying to do is to keep the process going. When there's a particular topic or a particular professional, let's stay on that topic. At the end, then it's open to overall comments. Okay. So with that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board and members of the public. I'm Kate Coffey from Day Pitney. Am I speaking loud enough? Good. I'm here tonight on behalf of Beaverbrook Urban Renewal Associates, LLC, which is a successor in interest to Ingerman Development Company. Beaverbrook Urban Renewal Associates is the contract purchaser and the designated redeveloper of the property. The property that we are speaking about is Block 60.03, Lot 26, located at 70 Beaver Avenue, which is commonly known as the Beaverbrook Homestead. As was already mentioned, we're here tonight for amended preliminary and final site plan application. Preliminary approval was granted via Resolution 2016-08 on November 21st, 2016. And it was extended for 1 year via Resolution 2017-11, such that it now expires November 7th, 2018. also, as was previously mentioned, the preliminary site plan approval was previously approved. However, we have made some amendments to that plan in efforts to improve it further to make it better for the folks that will live there as well as for the community. The property is located in the Annandale section of the township, situated on the corner of Beaver Avenue and Austin Hill Road. The property is subject to the Beaverbrook Homestead Non-Condemnation Redevelopment Plan, which was adopted on January 27, 2016, via Ordinance 1080-16. And that redevelopment plan provides that the redevelopment plan supersedes the underlying zoning. What's proposed fundamentally has not changed from the original preliminary application that was before this board in 2016. What's proposed is six multifamily residential apartment buildings of three stories each, 66 total 100% affordable multifamily units. The breakdown of those units is 13 one-bedroom units, 36 two-bedroom units, and 17 three-bedroom units. Additionally, we're reusing the existing historic main house structure that's on the Beaverbrook Homestead now. Slow? All slow? And if I get quiet, tell me, because I sent you. There's no change to any of the building or the parking layout that's proposed. There's no change to the circulation that's proposed. Here tonight with me, we have Brett Skapanitz of Dynamic Engineering. He's the engineer who worked on the amended site plan that's before you tonight. He took over the project from the engineer that worked on the preliminary site plan application. Brett will give everybody an overview of the property as well as the revisions that are proposed to the plan as against what was previously approved. We have Tom Bauer of Melillo and Bauer Associates. He's the project landscape architect. He will be discussing the landscaping plan and revisions in response to the board and the board professional comments. We have Jim Haley of Haley Donovan. He's the project architect.
How do you spell his last name?
H-A-L-E-Y. He's going to be responding to architectural comments we have received from the board's professionals. Also is Michael Kovacs. Can you spell it? K-O-V-A-C-S. He'll be responding to the environmental review memoranda that we have received. And we have John McDonough, who is our professional planner, and he'll be discussing the points of relief that we are requesting in support of the application. Mr. Drill, do you prefer to swear in all of the...
Yeah, I swear in everybody, including the board experts. And even if the board expert was sworn on the last application, I swear in again on this application.
Okay.
So can all experts that Ms. Coffey just identified, all five of you please stand up? And can all the board experts also please stand up? Can everyone raise their right hands? And does everyone swear that the testimony they're going to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you guide?
Yes, thank you.
We're going to start at the end and work our way this way. Identify yourself, spell your last name, even if it's already been spelled, and give your relationship to the applicant.
Michael Kovacs, K-O-V-A-C-S. We're the environmental consultant for the applicant.
Okay, do you have any professional designation?
Professional wetland scientist. Professional wetland scientist.
James Haley, Haley Donovan, spelling is H-A-L-E-Y, and we're the project architect.
Okay, are you an AIA?
Architect, yeah.
Brett Skapinetz, last name is S-K-A-P-I-N-E-T-Z, Dynamic Engineering Consultants. I'm the project engineer. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey.
Thomas Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, Malolo and Bauer Associates, landscape architects.
John McDonough, M-C, capital D-O-N-O-U-G-H, project planner on the last go-around and now.
Go down the end, Matt.
Matthew J. Mulhall, I'm a professional geologist, and I'm working for Clinton Township. M-U-L-H-A-L-L.
Jeff Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R, Township Environmental Consultant.
And you have a professional designation?
Work Habitat by Design, my own firm, Ph.D.
Brian Bosenberg, B as in Bravo, O-S-E-N, B-E-R-G, Ward Landscape Architect. I am a licensed landscape architect.
Tom Behrens, B-E-H-R-E-N-S, Ward Planner, Licensed Planner with Burgess Associates.
Kathleen Marcelli, M-A-R-C-E-L-L-I, Board Engineer and Professional Engineer in New Jersey.
Thank you all.
Brett, now that you've been sworn, will you please tell the board and the public a little bit about your background and qualifications?
Sure. Again, Brett Skapinetz, Dynamic Engineering Consultants. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Civil Engineering from Rutgers University. I'm currently Director of Dynamic Engineering Consultants. Currently Director of Dynamic Engineering located at 245 Main Street, Chester, New Jersey. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey, and my license is still valid. I've been qualified before over 120 boards in the state. I've been before this board, it's been several years, but I have been qualified years past before the County Planning Board.
So we would ask that Mr. Skapinetz be accepted as an expert in engineering.
Any concerns? Well, obviously, I'm looking out in the public, and probably all the members of the public are here on this application, so I would suggest if any members of the public have any questions on his qualifications only at this point, that you now ask them before the board makes a determination on whether or not to qualify him as an engineering expert. Any members of the public have questions on his qualifications only?
I don't see any, I will ask the board members. So not seeing any concerns, we're satisfied.
You can accept him as an expert.
Thank you.
Okay, Brett, can you just familiarize us with the property that we're talking about and walk us through some of the changes we're considering?
Sure. I have several exhibits. I'll start with the first one that I put up on the easel.
So we have exhibit tags here.
And then also, Brett, if you're walking around, if you would just use the handheld mic.
That's good. And let's mark all the exhibits in the lower right-hand corner if possible, because once we get to the office, Denise is going to take them off those boards and fold them up. So identify for the record Exhibit A1.
So Exhibit A1 is entitled Site Plan Rendering with Aerial Overlay with a preparation date of 2/5/18. And this exhibit...
Can you slide that back just a little bit further?
The best part, right, make it parallel with the wall so both the board and members of the public can see it. I understand. If anyone, member of the public, is on that side of the room, obviously, you can stand up, you can move to this side of the room to get a better view of it.
So this exhibit was prepared utilizing our site plan, which has been colorized and rendered for presentation this evening, and overlaid onto an aerial that is based on the NJDEP's 2015 aerial database. And what we've also done is shown the property line of the site, shown in white, to outline the property. So to orient everybody, this is up and down on the left-hand side of the property. This is Beaver Avenue, and then Austin Hill Drive runs up along the bottom of the page.
I'm minor from the left-hand side of the property. If I'm looking at that, it looked like it was the right-hand side.
Right-hand side of the property. Sorry, right-hand side is Beaver, and on the bottom is Austin Hill.
directions, and this will be consistent through my exhibits, is to the left-hand side is to the north, south to the right, east to the top, west to the bottom. So this property, again, is an irregularly shaped lot of about 10.6 acres. Right now, the Beaver Brook Homestead, the main building, sits right where I'm pointing in the southwestern corner. And there are several other outbuildings that are on the property, a barn, remnants of an old barn, then another dwelling that's situated on the eastern end of the property. Those structures would come down as part of the proposal, and as this is consistent with the preliminary approval for the construction of the units, as Ms. Coffey identified, which is the 66 units proposed in the configuration as shown on this plan.
Fred, just to be clear, when you said those structures are coming down, not the main house.
Not the main house.
And one of the structures that are shown in orange, are those in the same locations as the board preliminarily approved?
Yes, I was just going to go into that. So maybe take a quick step back. As I am taking over for the engineer that was involved in the plan preparation for the preliminary approval, we obtained all their information, including their electronic files, their CAD files of their drawings, the resolution, everything that was basically utilized for the approval of that preliminary plan. We then took those drawings and then the review letters that were still open as part of that preliminary approval, made adjustments to this site plan to address those letters to the best of our ability, along with making some additional changes that I'll go through as I go through my testimony. So this is the exact plan as far as a layout is concerned with respect to those buildings, and it's identified as far as the number of those buildings as well by Ms. Coffey.
So the number of buildings, the number of units, the height, all the buildings are the same.
Yes.
What's fundamentally changed is what?
Yes, what? Right. Let's
just give it to the right.
All right.
Sure. So let me move to the next exhibit for that to make it clearer. The next exhibit.
Exhibit A2.
A2 is entitled The Willows at Annandale Overall Site Plan, which is a preparation date of 2/5/2018. They're prepared by Malillo and Bauer Associates. Malillo and Bauer Associates is our landscape architect. We worked with them to prepare these plans. They utilize our site layout as a background. And then it's superimposed, as you can see on this exhibit, shows the landscaping plan, that is proposed throughout the site. Again, Austin Hill Road to the bottom and Beaver Avenue to the right-hand side. So as we go around the site, as far as changes are concerned, I'll just jump into that. The parking spaces. We added two parking spaces immediately to the east of the Village Green area, in the middle of the property. The tot lot used to be located in the southwestern corner of the site under the preliminary approval. The tot lot has been moved into that center green space away from the corner away from the intersection. Sidewalk along Austin Hill Road and Beaver Avenue has been reconfigured. There was a different alignment of sidewalk in the preliminary plan. We've made an adjustment to bring it closer, which is more appropriate along the edge of both roadways. The trash enclosures were shifted. There are two main enclosures, one just to the east of the tot lot and one that's located in the southeastern corner of the site. The one in the southeastern corner of the site was shifted from its location, which was right about where this large tree is that represents an existing tree that's out there today. In order to save that tree, we're looking to move the trash enclosure further to the east and to the end of the parking aisle, which, again, is very typical with respect to these types of developments. To the eastern end of the tot lot, the trash enclosure located in that area under preliminary approval was simply shifted slightly to the south and rotated. That was because under the previous configuration, it was 90 degrees to the drive aisle. And a truck, if it was to go in and try and pick up garbage, would never be able to, a front-loading truck would never be able to get in and pull the dumpsters in and out. There was just not enough room to do that. So the trash enclosure was angled. We have a proposed retaining wall that is along the eastern end of the site. That wall was under the preliminary approval, but the height of it was only about 4.5 feet in height. When we got into the grading plans, and I'll get into this a little bit when I get into the grading and drainage design, we made some adjustments to the grading based on looking at the balancing of cut fills on the site and also, too, the arrangement of the buildings. You can see that the buildings on this side are long. There's several units in a row here, and to try and minimize the stepping between those units, between each the first floor of each one of those units, which architecturally, from a construction standpoint, causes issues. We look to drop the grade slightly, particularly behind building number five, building number four, to be able to lower it and then level it out. And that resulted in an increase in height of the wall in approximately the location I'm showing, which backs right up to the firehouse parking lot.
4 feet to what feet?
To 8 feet. We also addressed, there are some minor changes in the plan to address the various comment letters from the town professionals, as well as fire department. A couple examples, the addition of stop signs, stop bars appropriately on the plan, fire lane striping based on our meeting with the fire chief, rearrangement of some of the sidewalks internal to the site. But those are, again, minor changes. Not necessarily wholesale changes, but basically cleanup items based on the preliminary approval comments. The biggest change, however, really comes down to stormwater management. And in the previous approval, the plan illustrated underground detention basins. Two were located on the northern end of the site in the parking lot that I'm pointing to on the plan. There was another underground system that was in a L shape that was located in the southeastern end of the site underneath the parking lot, and then there was some piping located in the southeastern end of the site underneath what I'm showing now is the landscape area and new basin location in the southwestern corner. We made the modification to construct an above-ground detention basin in the southwest corner, and that was as a result of several reasons. Number one, when the basins were designed originally, there was insufficient soil testing information in the location of those basins. Typically, in the location of each one of those basins, we would have two test borings or two test pits to test for not only seasonal high water table, but permeability. That was not the case in each one of those basins. So supplemental testing was done, and we realized that one of the tests for permeability in the portion of the basin that I'm pointing to, which is in the northwestern end, let's say, of that lot, failed. So we weren't getting the permeability that was expected for an underground detention basin in that location.
Brett, just for those of us who aren't engineers, why does not getting the permeability that you want matter?
Sure, because the way that the basins were intended to be designed, or the fact that this site is mainly wooded grass, with the exception of the structures that exist out there today, under the stormwater management rules, we are required to meet recharge or the pushing stormwater into the ground that happens under the current conditions would not happen properly in the location of that basin. Plus, we're also designing for infiltration we want infiltration of stormwater to happen within a certain time period. And again, the testing that was done in this time period or in that above-ground basin did not occur. So water would not evacuate the basin properly in the time frames that are required under the DEP stormwater management requirements, which are followed within the township.
Okay. Permeability means the ability for water to pass through it?
That's correct.
Does the new detention basin replace all of the underground or just the area where it failed?
No, actually, the new detention basin actually would take on all the stormwater for the site, with the exception of the back halves of the buildings 1, 2, and 3, located primarily on the northern end of the site. They are draining via roof leaders out the backs of the buildings to the north. Okay, so with the exception of the back halves of those buildings, we propose all the rest of the stormwater to go to that basin. Okay? There's a small area in the front of the driveway as well that goes out to Austin Hill Road under this plan. We realized when we started running through the final utility design, the fact that we have large basins. Now, these basins under the previous condition took up almost the entire width of the parking lot and were 60-inch diameter pipes in the back to 48-inch diameter. The location of those piping made it difficult for us to route utilities throughout the site to service the buildings in the back. There was also concern over the fact that the two basins in the northern end of the site were discharging through what are called point discharges. So some water was going to permeate into the ground, but then the balance and majority of the water would kick out through an opening or a pipe that was kicking out in one opening between buildings 2 and 3, and then in one of the an opening as to the northeast corner of building 3. And that, as a result of that, the point discharges and the slopes that we are discharging to, the soils out here are highly erodible. The fact that the point discharges are where they're located and need to be located behind the buildings, we would need to extend the piping into the 300-foot stream buffer that occurs behind the buildings. So there were concerns about that point discharge. And lastly, once we realized that there was a recommendation or a request to remove the tot lot to the center, it only made sense for us to look at an above-ground basin in that southwest corner. And that's because from about the firehouse to the east, if we drew a line straight down to Austin Hill Road, the area to the left of the dot flows to the north naturally. The remainder of this site, which is roughly 3.2 of the 5.2 acres that we're disturbing, actually naturally drains to that location. So it made sense to put a basin there. We did testing there. The testing turned out to be fine with respect to permeability. We did not hit seasonal groundwater, so we went forth and we designed our basin in this location. The basin will recharge some water, and then the balance or the majority of storm water beyond what's called the water quality storm, or let's call it your typical shower, maybe it's actually about an inch rainfall event, will discharge via a pipe that currently exists at the corner or to an inlet that exists in the corner of Austin Hill Road and flows to the west and ultimately discharges at the overpass that's right by the DOT maintenance building. So we're going to tie into the county stormwater system at that location and discharge the majority of the stormwater from that basin to that point. I will note, since I'm on the basin, just to save as we go through the letters, there was concern by your consultants, both your environmental consultant as well as your geotechnical consultant, with respect to how our basin was taking or not allowing as much stormwater that currently falls and travels to the north to continue to do so under proposed conditions. So I've spoken to your consultants, and we have a plan to basically take that water.
A3 is called North Stormwater Runoff Plan. Has a preparation date. It's based on the preparation date of 12/22/17 because it's based off of our grading plan.
Can you just repeat that?
12/22/17.
That is the North Stormwater Runoff Plan?
Yes. So the North Stormwater Runoff Plan,
as I previously testified, the back portions of the buildings, and actually the building one in the that I'm pointing to, just to the north of the entrance driveway, the rear part of the roof, as well as the back halves of 2 and 3 in green, discharge to the north. What we will propose to do is look to take the front halves of those roofs including the portion of building number four that is located to the east, and shown in red, those areas, draw that roof runoff to right now. We're proposing a very small underground basin on the northern end because as I testified previously, there are areas in here that did not meet the perk test, but there are other areas that do. So we're going to situate a small basin in the front lot to take on the stormwater runoff there. We also propose potentially taking the runoff from the rear roofs, and in talking to Mr. Keller of Habitat by Design, he asked if we can run it to some underground piping behind the buildings that will take the water right directly to the ground from the roof, which will then help to draw water towards the north and the wetland areas that are in that location. So,
this Exhibit A3, mm-hmm. is this in response to Mr. Keller's Habitat by Design February 1st report and Mr. Mulhill's M2 Associates February 2 of 2018 report?
That's correct, yes.
So how is it dated December 22, 2017?
Because I prepared it today, and I prepared it off of the 12-22-17 plans.
If you prepared that today, yep. Can you please put prepared by, sign your name, and put today's date on it?
And did you just say you are going to have a retention basin under parking lot, let's call that parking lot one or whatever?
Somewhere, yes. There's a location, actually, the basin location that we have it shown schematically. There's a location in that area where we did not meet the perk test. But in the area to the east, and as well as other areas in front of the building, we can add additional piping. The design is not necessarily 100% set here. We would work with your professionals to finalize exactly what type of mechanism we use to put the water in the ground.
I asked the question, as I thought you had said earlier, that you weren't going to have any retention basins under the parking lot, mm-hmm. and now you just said you are going to have one, so that confused me.
Yeah, no, understood. Yeah, we under the original design, no, but as a result of the comments from your professionals, we're going to add a small one. Sorry, we're going to add a small one on the northern end of the site.
In response to...
To your professionals, we're going to add a small one.
Got it.
In the front end of the site.
In addition to the above-ground basin that
correct.
We continue to propose.
That's correct.
Okay. Can I just touch on that? You had a concern also not just about the ability to have acceptable perk rates in the area, but you also had a concern about the discharge from those into mm-hmm. steep slope areas.
Yes.
How are you going to address that?
Because what I'm going to do is we're going to provide an overflow. This will be purely for the roof runoff, which is clean runoff, so we will not pre-treat it. What I intend to do is have that system be designed with an overflow so that we design to a beyond the water quality storm, and if we can get to the 100-year storm for those roofs in that basin, we'll do so to be able to get as much water in the ground and heading to the north. But I'll provide an overflow structure there, such that overflow structure, once it gets beyond, let's say, the 100-year storm, will discharge and kick to the on-site stormwater collection system and then go to the southwestern basin. We will not have the point discharge to the north.
Okay. Just to repeat, the underground basin in that front parking area will be for roof runoff only.
Correct. Okay. And substantive changes to the plan.
Mr. Sabbath, can you also just address the increase to steep slopes that we're requesting?
Yes. Yes. Under our I can utilize this plan. In the Carroll plans, when we received them.
The original preliminary site plan.
That's correct. Once we received those plans, we did an evaluation of them. So in doing so, we wanted to make sure that the line work checked, that the calculations that they utilize in those plans checked. And when we did our calculation in the same area of disturbance for this plan, so the same disturbance under preliminary that was approved, our calculations for the amount of steep slopes in that disturbance area went up. And it appears that that went up based on mainly man-made slope areas. So we're talking about areas in the front of the site that did not seem to appear in the original plan. So we have the steep grades that come off the main building and head towards Beaver Avenue. There's also some steep grades that are over there, over to the east of that building, where the remnants of the old barn are. As a result of that, the amount of steep slopes that were present went up, and then obviously then as a result, the disturbance of those went up. We are not, again, looking to disturb anything out beyond the originally proposed limit of disturbance that was shown in the preliminary approval.
What was the amount of disturbance that was reflected on the preliminary plans that the board approved, the preliminary site plan resolution, and what's the amount of steep slope disturbance that's shown on the amended preliminary final site plan that you're asking the board to approve during this application? I apologize for the constant interruptions, but in my note taking, if I wait till the end, I got to understand what's happening.
No problem.
Mr. Gill, is your question what the variance was that was granted essentially for the preliminary versus now?
I don't care about the variance.
Okay.
I want to know the actual square footage of the steep slope disturbances that were shown on the preliminary plans that the board approved by variance. And then the actual amount of steep slope disturbance that's now shown on these amended plans that you're asking the board to approve through this procedure.
As square footage rather than percentage.
You can give me percentage square footage.
I can give you percentage. Under the preliminary approval, 37.3% of the steep
3%
of the steep slopes between 15% and 25% were being disturbed, and 5.6% of the steep slopes that were over 25% were being disturbed.
Okay, and now?
And now the proposal is 45.5% disturbance of slopes between 15 and 25% and 16.7% of areas that are in excess of 25%.
Okay. And what you are saying, as I understand it, is that really at the time, are you saying this, that really at the time of preliminary, it was 45.5% of 15 to 25% steep slopes, but there was an error on the preliminary plans?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
And you're saying that really at the time of preliminary, there was a 16.7% disturbance over 25% steep slopes, but because of an error on the plans, it didn't reflect that?
That's correct.
And just one further question. So to be clear, Mr. Scadden, we're not proposing any new improvements that are creating an additional disturbance at this time. We're just correcting the calculations, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. That concludes sort of the review of the proposed changes. Our suggestion would be to next go to the review memoranda that we've received. Is that an acceptable course?
Yes.
Okay.
When we get to interrupt them, and we get to break the rules. I mean, it's not really fair, but in order for, no matter what happens in this proceeding, I, as the board attorney, I'm going to have to write up a resolution. So I got to have good notes. So I generally, unfortunately, interrupt a lot, but the board rules really say that I shouldn't even be asking any questions until they're done. I'm just breaking the rules.
But when they're done...
Yes, when they're
we'll
done,
get
board
comments.
Members ask questions, board experts ask questions, and then you guys ask your questions.
Thank you. Okay, so I think, Brett, it probably makes sense to start with the engineering report that we received.
Yes.
And just so for the sake of the record, this is a report that we received from
Matt McDonald. Dated January 30th, 2018.
Making it my job easy for you, Mr. Drill. Thank you. Exactly right. Mr. Skapanec, I know that you've had a chance to review this memorandum, correct?
That's correct.
And to start with, well, why don't you tell us, are there items on this report that the applicant will agree to comply with from the outset, so we don't have to...
So put it this way. What the board does is, if there are items that you don't agree with, identify those. If you don't identify an item that you don't agree with, the board's going to interpret your silence as saying you agree with it, and it's going to become, if there's an approval, it's going to become a condition of approval.
And items which are noted where I should provide testimony, though, I need to provide some testimony.
That's correct.
Okay.
So Mr. Skapanec,
yep.
Do you have any items in the engineering review memorandum, either that the applicant will not comply with or that request testimony from you?
Yes.
What items are those?
So on page 5 of 7,